It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. This week, the Senate passed a bill known as the Marketplace Fairness Act. This bill would give states the power to collect sales taxes from online retailers, which means additional revenue for states, obviously, but more headaches for retailers and more costs for shoppers. Now, some critics of the proposal say it's bad for business and bad for consumers. We want business owners to call in if you're already collecting sales tax from your internet sales and how this works, or if you've got an opinion about what would be fair for businesses, for consumers, for the public sector. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, on the issue of online sales taxes and this Marketplace Fairness Act, which passed the Senate, and it's unclear yet how it's going to do in the House. And while your calls are coming in, we are joined by Bloomberg News Congress editor Jody Schneider, who reports on economic policy. She's going to explain whether or not the Marketplace Fairness Act is in fact fair. Well, maybe it's not your place quite, Jody, to pass judgment on it, right?
That's right. Good morning.
But tell us how the tax is collected.
Well, basically, what would happen if this were to pass, and as you noted, the Senate has passed it the other day on a bipartisan vote. The House, it's unclear whether it will, how it will advance in the House, and we can talk a little bit about that in a minute. But the states, basically, if it passed, states would be required to join what's known as an interstate compact with streamlined rules or to provide software to retailers so that they can actually collect this tax. And then customers who make purchases from out-of-state retailers would have to pay the tax, and then it would have to be collected. Currently, customers who make purchases from out-of-state retailers are actually still supposed to pay use taxes on those purchases, although few do, and there hasn't really been a lot of enforcement of it.
If you live in a state like Delaware or Montana that doesn't have a sales tax, then would you have to be paying a sales tax in the future, if this bill passes, even if you live in one of those states?
Yes, and that, of course, is part of the reason that lawmakers from those states are against it. They basically say, hey, we don't have a sales tax. Why should we be having to pay one?
So explain again, where would that money go? If Montana doesn't have a sales tax, and there are states closer to here that don't have sales taxes, like New Hampshire, who would get that money, and how would it work?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know that they have quite figured that out yet, because there's this interstate compact. So that is a good question. And the other states, of course, are the ones that are looking at this money saying, okay, we lose, the estimates are $23 billion a year in foregone revenue from uncollected sales taxes. And the states are very interested in getting their hands on that money, particularly states that have a budget shortfall.
Let's see. I think Peter on the Upper West Side has been parsing this bill because, Peter, you're calling in to talk about Section 9, Paragraph 5? Peter, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Brian, I have a question. Perhaps your guest can answer it. In Section 9, Paragraph 5 of the Constitution.
Oh, the Constitution.
It says, no tax or duty shall be laid on articles exported from any state. Why does this paragraph not cover the current situation? They're actually taxing articles exported from state to state.
Jody, does this come up in the congressional debate?
Not really, because this has been viewed as a use tax, that this is a tax that people are supposed to be paying anyway, and the fact is that it has largely been uncollected. So this has really been viewed as an issue of how do we collect a tax, a use tax, that people are already supposed to be paying. It really hasn't been viewed as a constitutional issue that was not part of the debate on the Senate floor the other day.
Peter, thank you. Who else wants to talk about internet sales taxes? Have you been with a business that has had to collect these? How does it work? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. I read that states without sales taxes are actually split on this bill. Montana, New Hampshire, and Oregon are against it because they think it would put a burden on their local businesses to collect taxes from other states. But Delaware supports it because they think it would drive their citizens to local businesses because they are a tax-free alternative. And I guess that means to brick-and-mortar businesses. Do you have a take on those differing positions?
Well, that is, you mentioned a split that's not only with the states, but those particular states, but around this bill. The businesses where they are feel that they are at a disadvantage, you know, so-called brick-and-mortar businesses and shopping mall associations and groups like that are for this. Obviously, they feel as though people and they cite examples, and we've all probably seen this happen, but they cite these examples where people go to a store like a Best Buy and they basically stand there and do some price comparisons, and then they walk away and buy the very same item online because they're not having to pay the sales tax on it, or even if they're supposed to pay the sales tax on it, they're not, you know, because no one's collecting it at this point. So that's the one side that says, okay, this is a fairness issue for us. On the other side is the coalition of direct marketers, eBay, anti-tax groups that say this is really imposing another layer of tax on people.
So that's
sort of the philosophical divide, mm-hmm. and it's played out in some of the states that you mentioned as well.
Saul in Rockland County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Saul.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Look, I agree that it seems it's unfair to business the way it's constituted right now. But a couple of technical problems, unintended consequences. Wouldn't this drive all the businesses, the servers offshore? Then they can just be offshore businesses. How are we? If I'm buying from New York to someplace in Kansas, how will they collect the sales tax from a company in Kansas? And why? And let's say they don't give it. How are you gonna sue them? How are you gonna get money from them?
So
even beyond that, this idea that people shop at a Best Buy, mm-hmm. and then they buy online. Look, I can go to Best Buy and then buy it at Radio Shack also. I can look at a pair of shoes in one store and buy it in the other. So it's not any different.
Right. A number of good questions on the table. What about offshoring? What about companies that set themselves up, with an office in China or England, for that matter, or wherever? Would they be subject to this? If I'm buying an article and I live in New York and I'm supposed to be subject to New York sales taxes, are they going to be exempt from charging me because they're not in the United States?
That's a good question. It hasn't really come up in the debate. This has really focused more on having to pay, out of state when you're shopping with an out of state from the state that you are in. Their retailers and collecting sales tax there. That's a good question. It again didn't come up in the debate, and mm-hmm. it's something that I'm sure will come up, particularly in the House, where there are many more opponents to this to the internet sales tax.
Why is that politically?
A couple of reasons. One, there's an anti-tax philosophy behind some of the opponents, and there are many more people who are anti-tax or have concerns about the spreading of taxation with this bill in the House than in the Senate. Also, because in the House there are people who have been lobbied heavily and who have constituents in their areas that are on the opposing side.
And I think Saul's
direct marketers, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Saul's comment also suggests a fundamental question of how much consumers actually do go online to avoid sales tax, or if they really just go online for the choice or to find the cheapest price or the convenience of shopping at home, et cetera. Do you think it is happening as a matter of conscious tax evasion very much? Is there data?
Yeah, the data shows that it's not really a conscious thing, that most people don't make, you know, and on an everyday basis don't say, oh, I'm going to go buy a couple books from Amazon online because it'll save me. Most of the time they're buying them online from Amazon because it's more convenient, right, than having to go find a
right.
bookstore and walk around and all that. However, on large purchases like electronic equipment and sometimes appliances, those kinds of things that are bigger ticket items, that's where we see people making a conscious decision to purchase online.
Can you even do that? And I understand, of course, if you're making a bigger purchase, then the sales tax hit is going to be bigger, and you're going to be more likely to be conscious of what that sales tax is and try to not pay it if you have a, especially if you have a legal way, and sometimes even if you don't have a legal way. But I think my experience is that when I shop online, and I can't say for sure whether this applies to Amazon or where, but in New York State, where I live, I think you are required to pay sales tax already for online purchases. So it seems to me that when I've shopped online, I am asked by the site, or it even automatically reads my shipping address and charges New York sales tax. Is that right?
Not necessarily. First of all, states are losing $23 billion a year, so it is not automatically coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
And people are required to pay it. Yes, it's a use tax, and you are required to pay it, but few people do, and the states have made only minimal efforts to collect them. They basically, the states have actually turned to Congress and said, hey, you need to come up with a national solution for this. This should not be our problem to be running around and trying to collect sales tax from people.
So if a site does that, maybe some sites do and some sites don't, but I know some sites do. Is it because they're just trying to be good citizens, or has enforcement gotten to them, or why do you think I would ever run into that?
I think some people have tried. Some have tried to get ahead of this issue. This has been debated in Congress now for several years. This is the first major effort to do this. But some sites have really, I guess, realizing that this is going to be an issue, have tried to say, okay, we're going to. This is how we're going to play in this. I don't think there's been a lot of. There certainly hasn't been well-publicized efforts to enforce the use tax.
Brian in Long Branch, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Brian. How you doing? I had a comment because I live on the Jersey Shore, which, of course, just got battered by Sandy, and I spend a lot of time in Brooklyn every week, and I do an awful lot of shopping online, and I do it for convenience, not to avoid taxes. And I got to tell you, I'm in favor of this tax because I feel like we need to invest in infrastructure. Our local governments, our county governments, city, state, are starved for revenue. And I want to see investment in infrastructure, in schools, in police, in all these things that make life better. And I feel like it's not that regressive a tax. And I think I support governments that reinvest in communities. And I'm happy to pay it. I think it's part of being a citizen and part of being a member of the community.
You know, Brian, you could calculate your local sales tax on the purchases you make online and voluntarily submit it to the government.
I guess so.
That would
be a step
too far. Thank you very much. But I think he raises a very fundamental question of sort of right and wrong, and whether something is evasion or whether something is just in a different category. Because if a state or a locality imposes a sales tax, that's something that is done, through our democracy that the people have supported enough, whether it's elected officials doing it who haven't been voted out of office for doing it, or however a sales tax gets imposed in our democracy, that is to raise money for vital services in the community. And just because in the current era, a website can set up in Kansas or in England or in China or wherever and not charge you sales tax, why should the sales tax not apply to the people who live in the locality that has passed the sales tax? Are they debating it on that level in Congress?
Yes. Tax fairness was one of the arguments that was made on the Senate floor the other day when they were debating the bill, and it has been one that was made by the lawmakers who drafted the legislation, making the point that you were just making, that we pay, everybody has to pay their federal taxes and their state income taxes, and people pay sales tax, and sales tax is a big part of what allows municipalities and states to be able to fund government and the services that people need. And I think the fairness issue has been also linked to the need to really to help bolster state treasuries. $23 billion a year at a time that states and municipalities are, you know, are very stretched in terms of their budgets, is not something that they wanted to ignore anymore.
Michael in North Plainfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Brian. I own a bath showroom in New Jersey with 7% sales tax. And when people go online and shop, and then they compare our prices for a brick-and-mortar showroom to what's happening online, they add that 7% onto the savings that they're already realizing because somebody doesn't have a brick-and-mortar and they don't run a loan.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Are you there? Oh, Michael, your phone's dropping out. I'll give you one more chance. Are you still there? All right. So,
if to buy it online.
Michael, your line came back right at the end. Are you arguing that the online sales tax would hurt your business, which is already suffering because people can find lower prices on the internet because they don't have to pay rent?
No, the online sales tax would help my business. It would help most local businesses because it would be more fair. You would be competing in a more fair way, and the difference in pricing would be closer.
I see. So it would help the brick. Wait, well, that makes sense, actually. That makes logical sense. You said you own a bath showroom, right?
Yes.
Can you tell me the difference between a whirlpool and a hot tub?
Well, a hot tub usually you fill with a hose. And a whirlpool, everything's interior, and then it's usually inside the house, and it's internal to the house.
Okay, a short digression. Thank you for your call. Go ahead, Jody. Yes, Michael, listen.
The question I wanted to ask is, do you think, if this does take effect, if the House passes this bill, that you will it'll help your sales, that it really people will, that they won't go shopping as much because of the differential in the sales tax? Do you think you'll see it in effect?
I think it will help our sales. It's such an emotional thing. I don't know why in New Jersey tax is such an emotional word, but if we have equal footing with internet stores, it absolutely will help. And if you sell a $3,000 bathtub, which we're on a high end, and if we sell a $3,000 bathtub, that's $210 worth of sales tax added to maybe they're buying it for $200 cheaper on the internet. That's close to $500 that they could buy it cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things add up. That stuff adds up, and you know it makes people want a showroom. What is called now a verb, showrooming, where they come, they look at you, and then they simply get the model. They get all the help that they from the locals, and then they go on the internet and they buy it.
Right, Michael.
Because they have the SKUs.
Michael, thanks again. Jody, did he give you the answer you were expecting?
Although I wondered, it's hard to separate these issues, whether people, again, are buying online because it's just easier or how much.
Right.
And so it will be interesting to see if this bill takes effect. It would be, to go back to people like Michael, say 6 months, a year from now, or from when it takes effect, and see whether they've had an appreciable increase in their business as a result.
But I would imagine that brick-and-mortar stores generally take the position that he takes for exactly the reason that he takes it. It would slim the difference between the price of buying something online and the price of buying something in a physical store, yes?
Right, right. And the question is, at what point, you know, how much of the decision to buy online is convenience and how much is the sales tax issue? And I guess we'll find out if the bill takes effect.
Lisa in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. You and your show are brilliant.
Thank you.
I shop a lot online. My shopping online has absolutely nothing to do with sales tax. It's for what Saul was mentioning earlier. It's for convenience. I know I'm going to get the color and the size of whatever I want. The internet is stateless. It's a consequence of globalization, and it's just the way it's going. So taxing is not going to change that. If the goal here is to get more people to walk into a physical store, this is not going to do it. And I believe the other caller maybe that was what Saul said. I think this might result in more, you know, us losing more business internationally. I think we should maybe focus on taxing people who who do their business offshore in a different way. If it's a financial reason that this is being looked at, I don't think this is the way to nickel and dime people. It wouldn't affect what I personally do, but it sounds like a slippery slope that we don't want to go down.
Lisa, thank you. And we're just about out of time, Jody, but she touches on something that another caller was waiting to say too, and that is that this is chump change compared to the trillions of dollars in corporate and wealthy individuals' money that is banked offshore. And that's really where the debate should be. Does this come up in the congressional conversation?
Yes, of course. So often around the issue of taxation, people say, hey, don't tax this. What you should really do is go after that and go after the big picture stuff, which is much harder to do. And there are discussions in Congress about a potential tax overhaul that would deal with things like international taxation. But that gets much more complicated. And I think part of why Congress is doing this, for all the reasons we discussed earlier, but because it seems to be a relatively straightforward kind of thing that would result in $23 billion a year in revenue.
All right. Well, this Tax Fairness Act that has passed the Senate now goes on to the House, would make sure that tax is charged on Internet purchases, or that states could do that based on the state where the business is located, not on where you're buying from, as I understand it, and that there's $1 million minimum, so super small businesses are protected, right?
That's right. There's an exemption for small businesses, yes.
And Jody Schneider, Congress editor for Bloomberg News, thanks so much for explaining this to us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next. If you're not ready to celebrate Mother's Day as a mother quite yet, but your biological clock is ticking, you will want to hear our next guest, Sarah Elizabeth Richards, author of Motherhood Rescheduled, The New Frontier of Egg Freezing and the Women Who Tried It. Stay with us.